I ask you to turn your Bible with me here this evening to Matthew chapter 7. We'll begin reading at verse 15 down to verse number 20. A number of weeks ago, we began a new Sunday evening series of studies, and the entire series of studies entitled Take Heed and Beware. So both the Lord Jesus Christ and then the authors under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of the rest of the New Testament give us a significant number of warnings, either where they tell us to take heed or they tell us to beware of something, whether it be something from without entering in or something in our own hearts and lives that might seek to take over and lead us astray. And in so doing, we've taken up this study. We looked at the first of these warnings a few weeks ago, and over the last number of weeks, we considered that throughout Matthew chapter 6. It has been my intention, as I did this study, I found that there were more of these warnings in the New Testament than I realized at first, and so it's possible we'll look at these two studies in two parts, in a sense. The first part would be all the warnings that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself delivers to us on this matter, and then the second part would be the rest of the New Testament and those warnings that are delivered to us. It has been my intention, at least with regard to the warnings that the Lord Jesus Christ delivered, that we take them up in a chronological way. So the first one He gave early in His ministry, and then as He moves throughout His ministry in a chronological pattern, each one of those warnings we get in that time. So the first one we encountered was in Matthew chapter 6, and it was in the Sermon on the Mount, which was fairly early in Jesus' ministry. The second one we encounter is also in the Sermon on the Mount, just a little bit later in the sermon. And that's the one in Matthew chapter 7. First one we've looked at was take heed and beware of vainglory, out of Matthew 6, verses 1 through 6, and then picking up in verse 16 down to verse 18. Now we look at the second one, and that is take heed and beware of false prophets. Take heed and beware of false prophets. Now, I realize that in the adult Sunday school not too long ago, we worked our way through the Sermon on the Mount. So some of this may be a little bit review for those who are in adult Sunday school. For those not, it'll be brand new. But even though some of it may be review, these messages will probably be a little more thorough than those in the adult Sunday school, and so still of value to you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, stand with me for the reading of God's Word, if you would. Near the beginning of Jesus' preaching ministry in the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord Jesus Christ delivered this warning in Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, I didn't have you turn to this, but I'll give you a reference. Again, near the end of His preaching ministry, in what is commonly called the Olivet Discourse, because Jesus was on the Mount of Olives when He delivered that discourse, our Lord Jesus Christ delivered a warning yet again. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 5, He says, or the Word of God says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name. Now, if you know anything about the Olivet Discourse, you understand that Jesus was giving prophetic utterance about what would happen. He gives a series of things. He says there'll be wars and rumors of wars, and the end is not yet. And then He goes on to talk about the tribulation period, and then He talks about the second coming. But during the period that He talks about when He says, these things will happen and these things will happen, but the end is not yet, what He was describing is what we would now call the church age. And throughout the church age, what I just read to you, Jesus says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. A little later, in that same light, in verse 11 of Matthew 24, Jesus said, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. So when Jesus warned of false prophets, He was not just warning the disciples of false prophets that might rise up in Jerusalem in that immediate time. But He was warning all of His people throughout the entirety of the church age that many false prophets, many false teachers would rise up throughout the time of the church age again and again and again and again and again. And that we need to be warned, take heed, and beware of such. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll proceed with the message this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would guide us here now this evening, that You would help us to understand Your Word, that You would help us to take it to heart and recognize the warning You intend for us, and therefore the alertness and the awareness that You intend us to have as we walk through this world in our lives of all of the false doctrine and all of the false teaching, all of the false teachers and false prophets and so on, false preachers that would be out and about seeking to deceive us and to lead us astray and thereby to destroy us spiritually. Lord, help us to be much warned in this beginning message and series of messages on this point. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As the message proceeds, I do intend for us to consider a number of points, and I have one point where I'm a little tentative about the wording on it. That's a little later, and I know we're not going to get to it tonight, so I have a little bit of time. But tonight, we'll be considering, first of all, a consideration of definition. A consideration of definition. Basically, what are false prophets? Jesus said, beware of false prophets. Well, what are they? What are these false prophets about which He's speaking? As we go into the future, we'll be considering the caution against danger, the characteristic of deception, the commitment to devouring. That's the one I'm a little unsure about, the word commitment. I know right now I'm comfortable with the word, but I may, by the time we get there, I may adjust that to something else. And then finally, there is the consequence of destruction. And all of those truths we have in the passage before us as well as Matthew 24. But here this evening, just the first of these truths, a consideration of definition. As Jesus gives this warning to us, we need to understand who and what false prophets are. Our Lord Jesus Christ warns us in Matthew 7, 15 through 20, in Matthew 24, 4 and 5, in Matthew 24, verse 11, He warns us concerning the existence of false prophets and false teachers in the world around us. He solemnly warned us to take heed and beware of their deceptive and destructive influence upon our lives and upon our ministries. Our Lord recognizes the need for godly teachers, no doubt, to influence our lives in the right way. He recognizes that. He's not wanting to warn us against false prophets, against false teachers, such that we withdraw from all teachers in our lives. That is not the Lord's intention. He recognizes that there are good teachers and godly teachers that can be very helpful in our lives. In fact, our Lord Jesus Christ recognizes that to the extent that He Himself appoints them and sends them forth by the power of His Holy Spirit to have that good and godly influence in our lives. Amen? That's what He wants to happen. Yet our Lord also recognized that our adversary, the devil, would send forth a multitude of counterfeit prophets and a multitude of counterfeit teachers in order to lead us astray from God's way of truth and righteousness. And so we have this struggle. We know that the Lord our God sends forth godly teachers and godly preachers and godly influencers into our lives. And they don't all have to be on the official level, the preacher, the pastor, the official teacher. There's a lot of different levels at which God can send forth individuals with a godly influence of teaching into our lives. But you see, everything that God sets up, the devil seeks to either corrupt it or counterfeit it. I mean, look down through the history of time. God created marriage. Anybody want to tell me if the devil's worked at all to corrupt or counterfeit it? God created society. Has the devil at all worked to corrupt and, not really counterfeit, but corrupt it, no doubt, to the point where early in the history of the world, God said, it's become so corrupt, I need to change their languages so at least they're not all one big unified corruption. And that's basically what he was doing. He was saying that man is evil from his heart continually, and if they stay together in one unified corrupt whole, it'll be a terrible mess real fast. You think the end of the world is yet off into the future, and maybe it's drawing closer, but I believe that if the Lord Jesus or the Lord our God did not change the languages and divide society into smaller groups, but allowed society to be one world society of sin and corruption, it wouldn't have taken very long before he'd already destroyed it once with a flood. He'd had to do it again somehow else. The end of the world would have come a whole lot faster. And so that's another thing, a little, all right, side point, little thought point for me. Because of our technologies, especially things like the internet, the world is drawing closer together into a single worldly, ungodly, sinful society. The things, it used to be, they used to talk about, even when I was growing up in the 80s, they used to talk about the fact that things were on the coasts and new fads on the coast would take about a generation to get into the center of the country. Before that, it took a few generations before there was the motorized vehicle. Everything was horse and buggy and so forth. It took longer to travel. And if you thought it took that long to get from the coasts to the center of the U.S., then think about how long a new fad in the U.S. might take to get to China. Now, a new fad starts anywhere in the world, and it can be to every other place in the world within, well, we might say within hours, maybe within hours it takes to become popular, but it doesn't even have to take a whole day because of something called the internet. Now, I'm not saying that the internet itself is a sinful concept. I'm just saying that it's a tool that both can be used for good and bad. And as God would seek to use any tool for good, no doubt the devil's out and about seeking to use it for bad. And you can't tell me the internet isn't used sometimes, many times, by the devil for bad. Right? Yeah, we know that. And I'm not preaching against the internet here this evening. That's not my point. My point is that God created society and the devil corrupted it and is ever seeking to do that. You could go on, the children of Israel, God created a nation. And did the devil corrupt it? God created the church. And has the devil corrupted it and sought to counterfeit it as well? Yeah, we see that all out and about. And so God appoints and anoints godly teachers, and the devil seeks to corrupt godly teachers and counterfeit with ungodly teachers acting like they're godly. The Lord recognized this. Thus our Lord delivered this solemn warning for us to take heed and beware. He warns us because of the certain existence of false prophets and false teachers in the world. He warns us because of the sinister purpose of false prophets and teachers to deceive and devour us spiritually. Our Lord Jesus Christ warns us because of the serious damage that false prophets and false teachers might produce in our spiritual walk. Our Lord warns us because of the spreading proliferation. I had to look that word up. I've heard it. I know it means many, many, many. But I looked it up to find the precise definition and found what it means is not just a synonym for the word multitude or many, but literally it means something that multiplies very quickly. Well, does false teaching and false teachers, do they multiply quickly? Yeah. The false proliferation. Not only that, for that particular one, I had to page through page after page after page with P words in order to keep it alliterated, and I ran across that word and it was perfect. But it's not one I use a lot. Now I'm going to have to start using the word more often. But the spreading proliferation of false prophets and teachers throughout the church age. So what are they? What are they? If we engage in a consideration of biblical definition, commonly we view a prophet If somebody said, well, down the street, there's this guy who claims to be a prophet. Commonly, we view a prophet, the world commonly views a prophet in the definition of a prophet, as somebody who can foretell the future accurately and consistently with accuracy, right? Here's this individual. He pronounces such and such is going to happen tomorrow, and it happens. You're like, whoa. Well, one time might be a coincidence. Then he does it again, and it happens. He does it again, and it happens. And somebody says, wow, seems like he's a prophet. That's commonly how we think of the word prophet, but in fact, and that's the base meaning of the word, but in fact, the Word of God, Scripture, uses the word prophet not as narrow as that, but actually uses it more commonly to describe an individual who is directly commissioned and sent by the Lord God to deliver a message from God to man. The prophets of the Old Testament. Moses was called a prophet, but how many prophecies did he give? What we think of as a prophecy of foretelling the future. Actually, most of what Moses delivered was, what do we commonly, when we think of Moses, we commonly think of Moses delivered to them the law. That wasn't prophecy utterance. Now, he did give some prophecy utterance near the end. In his repetition of law in Deuteronomy, he talked about, I set before you a blessing and a curse. And he says, in the future, when you do this, this is what God's going to do and so forth. More, not even as much as prophecy as it is a declaration of judgment. But most of what Moses gave to the children of Israel was the law. But I would ask you this, did he get the law directly from God? Was he directly appointed by God, commissioned by God, to deliver a message he received directly from God to man? Is that what the Mosaic Law is? That's why the Word of God calls Moses a prophet. Not because he delivered a whole series of prophecies, but because he received a message directly from God. He was commissioned as a messenger from God, receiving a message directly from God to be delivered to them. In fact, over and over again to deliver to them. In that light, Solomon was a prophet because he received a message directly from God, thus to write the book of Solomon and Ecclesiastes and so forth. This is more commonly how the Word of God uses the word prophet. Indeed, throughout the Word of God, these are the two central characteristics of a godly prophet. Godly prophets are commissioned by God, number one. And number two, godly prophets proclaim the message of God. That's the core of what a godly prophet is. A godly prophet at his core is commissioned by God and he delivers the message of God. As such, a true prophet of God is appointed by the Lord God as his very mouthpiece unto men. In 2 Chronicles 36, verses 15 and 16, 2 Chronicles, not Corinthians, Chronicles in the Old Testament, chapter 36, verses 15 and 16, the prophets of God are described a number of times as the messengers of God. That's how they're described, the messengers of God. A true prophet of God spoke saying, thus saith the Lord. Especially go to the Old Testament prophets. And over again, what do we find? The burden of the Lord unto, thus saith the Lord. The message that a true prophet of God delivered was the very Word of God. Indeed, a true prophet of God was responsible, this was his responsibility, to take up and to deliver all and only that message which the Lord God commanded him to deliver. He was responsible to proclaim God's truth faithfully and to exhort the people unto faithfulness thereby. Turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah 23. We're going to be in a few Old Testament passages here to help us understand what the biblical definition of a prophet is and then of false prophets thereafter. But Jeremiah 23, verses 28 and 29. The Word of God says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word. So these now, God is describing genuine prophets, godly prophets, ones that he himself has commissioned, ones to whom he has come with a dream, or ones to whom he has given his word. And this is what he says is their responsibility. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. If God gave him this dream, God gave him this vision, then he should tell it precisely the way God gave it to him. He says, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. That's the responsibility of a godly prophet. He's commissioned of God. He's sent by God. He's given a message from God. And he is responsible to deliver God's message and deliver it faithfully. Faithfully. He says, what is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Now, in the midst of this chapter, or this is in the midst of the chapter, in the other portion of the chapter, God is actually, through the prophet Jeremiah, rebuking the false prophets of Jeremiah's day and saying, look, if I haven't given you the message, don't stand up and say I have. Now, those to whom I have given a message, let them deliver the message. Let them stand up boldly and deliver the message I gave them. But make sure that they deliver that message faithfully. And then he gives that comparative. He says, these men over here, they make up the message. They claim I gave it to them, but I didn't give it to them, and they make it up. And then he says, what is the chaff to the wheat? My word is real wheat, real substance, real health. That's just chaff that blows away with the wind. Man's word is worthless. He says, my word is like a hammer. My word is like the fire. My word does a real work in people's lives. So if I give you my word, then deliver my word. Amen? Now, nowadays, we might not have prophets that are receive a verbal message from God or receive a vision message from God. But we have preachers and teachers still out and about and have been throughout the church age for the last 2,000 years. But we have the completed scriptures, and therefore we take up God's word from God's word. Amen? And still the principle stands. A godly preacher and a godly teacher should receive the word of God and deliver it faithfully. Why? Because God's word is real health. God's word is real substance. God's word is real power. God's word is a real fire that can consume and cleanse out sin from people's lives. God's word can do a real spiritual work. Man's word cannot. It can make people feel good, but it cannot transform them spiritually. Even so, in application to our day, the word prophet may also here in Jesus' warning may also encompass those who are ordained by the Lord our God to preach and teach His inspired word. Now that's what a godly prophet is. You say, I thought we were talking about false prophets. Well, we are. But see, you need to understand that a false prophet is a counterfeit godly prophet. You can't really understand what a false prophet is, what the counterfeit is, if you don't know what the real thing is. Amen? I found it interesting. This might be interesting to you as well. The phrase false prophet that we encounter in this passage here in Matthew chapter 7 is translated from a single Greek word. And the single Greek word is the Greek word that if I were to kind of transliterate it for you would be pseudo-prophetes. Pseudo. Do you know the word pseudo? And we use that which means counterfeit. False. Not real. Pseudo-prophets. They're counterfeit prophets. Oh, they act like they're from God, but they're not really. So what is a godly prophet? We've looked at that now. A godly prophet is one commissioned by God, given a message from God, and responsible to deliver God's message faithfully to man. Amen? Now, I realize that throughout the scripture era, the time of the Old and the New Testament when it was being delivered, that would have been a direct message from God, a direct inspired message, a direct vision from God, a direct verbal communication from God. Nowadays, we don't have prophets that receive that direct message from God because we have the message of God in His Word. But that warning still can encompass the idea of preachers and teachers today that take up the Word of God and claim to be delivering that Word to us. They should be faithful. They've been commissioned of God. The New Testament does talk about preachers and teachers being commissioned of God for the church, and they're to take up the Word of God and deliver it faithfully. But what if they don't? You see, in this light, false prophets then are those who claim to be messengers from the Lord God with a message of God's truth, but whose claim is false. They claim to come in the name of the Lord God for the sake of the Lord God and for the sake of His way of truth. Yet they make the claim falsely. They claim to be sent from God, but they're not. They claim to be bringing the message of God, but they're not. They claim to be ministering for the sake of the Lord, but they're not. They claim to be ministering for the sake of God's truth, but they're not. They claim to be the servants of the Lord, appointed by Him as preachers and teachers for Him. Yet the Lord God has not sent them. Rather, they're self-appointed preachers and teachers, and as such, as self-appointed, not God-appointed, but self-appointed as such, they are the ministers of Satan. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians, not Chronicles now, but 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. You say, preacher, that's a pretty harsh thing to say, that these self-appointed preachers or teachers are actually the ministers of Satan. The word minister means servant. True godly prophets, true godly preachers and teachers sent by God with God's message are the servants of the Lord. But the false ones are the servants, the ministers of Satan. That's a harsh thing, preacher. Well, that's not, it may be a harsh thing, but it's not something I created. That's something God's own Word describes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. The Word of God talking about the deception of false apostles and false teachers and false prophets says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his, whose? Satan's. If his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. Satan's ministers will try to make themselves look like God's servants. But they're pseudo. They're false. They're not really the servants of the Lord. They claim to be messengers of God's truth, preaching and teaching the Word and way of the Lord. Yet they pervert the words of the living God, and they speak forth their own doctrinal lies in the place of God's perfect truth. Turn back to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse number 36. This is an accusation that God Himself lays down against such false prophets, false teachers, false preachers back in Jeremiah's day, but it would be an accusation that God, who does not change, would still carry forward into our day. Jeremiah 23, verse number 36, and it says, and the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, your God. If you go back earlier in Jeremiah 23, which we'll be doing here in a short bit, we'll find that the primary rebuke throughout that chapter is a rebuke of the Lord against the false teachers, false preachers, false prophets of Jeremiah's day. They were doing what? Perverting the Word of the living God. What happens when you pervert the Word of the living God? Well, it brings your destruction, but what happens to the people who listen to you? Well, it causes people to trust in a lie. They follow that preacher, they follow that teacher, they follow that way that's being communicated to them, but the way that's being communicated to them is a lie. And people begin to follow it and trust it, and they trust in a lie. Let me just give you one illustration. How many people are out there in the world today who think they have learned the right way to heaven? But they're trusting in a lie. And why do they trust this wrong way to heaven. Jesus gave warning, did he not? Actually, he gives warning in Matthew chapter 7, just a little bit earlier than the one we're communicating about, the broad way that many find and that leads to destruction, and the narrow way that that few find, but it's the way that leads to life everlasting. You go out into the world and the world says there's many different ways to heaven. Who taught them that? Not Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He never stood up and said there's multitudes of different ways. You choose whichever one you like most. You choose your own way. It'll be okay. Everybody will get there. Jesus never said that. But there's many people out there in the world today trusting in a lie. Because the way that they're trusting in is a false way. But who taught them that false way? Who convinced them that that false way was the true way? False prophets, false teachers, false preachers that have gone out into the world. And indeed, Jesus gave warning in Matthew 24 that there would be many who would go out into the world. They're not few and far between. Oh no. They are a multitude that just keeps multiplying. There's a warning given in one of the Timothys, I believe it's 2 Timothy, that deceivers, false teachers, would both be deceived and would deceive others. But it says that they will wax worse and worse as time goes on. That only means that their deception will get worse, but it also means there will be more and more and more and more and more and more of them for God's servants, for the God's true preachers and teachers and God's true people to face down and to beware not to follow. Although they claim to be preachers and teachers who are sent from God, they're liars. For they actually teach contrary and consent not to the wholesome words of our Lord Jesus Christ, nor do they consent to, but teach contrary to the doctrine which according to godliness. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. Then we're going to turn back to Jeremiah. You might want to keep a finger there if you haven't turned away yet. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 3. I'm not going to dwell on this at this point a lot. We're going to come back to it later in the message. But 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 3, the Word of God says, if any man teach otherwise, so teaching contrary, all right, and consent not. So they teach in contradiction, and they do not agree with, they do not consent to, they do not agree with, what is it that they teach contrary to and do not agree with? They consent. They teach contrary and do not agree with the wholesome words. What are the wholesome words? Define them for me. Well, it's defined for us right here in this very verse. These are the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of Christ, the words of the Word of God, these are wholesome words. And anything that is contrary to it, teaching contrary, anything that doesn't consent to the teaching of God's Word is false. What else do they do? They do not consent to. They teach otherwise, contrary. They do not consent with, do not agree with. A second aspect says, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Do you know that God defines for us two things to help us signal whether someone's teaching and doctrine, and I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit, but I'll give this to you, helps us to signal whether someone's doctrine is right or wrong. Number one, does their doctrine match up to the teaching of the Word of God? If not, it's false. Number two, does their teaching lead people to live godly? Does the teaching and preaching of these individuals lead people to live godly? That's the doctrine which is according to godliness. If that teaching and preaching doesn't, I'm not saying everybody who listens actually obeys and lives godly, but the teaching itself, does it lead people? Does it instruct people? Does it direct people on how to live a godly life? If it doesn't, then it's not from God. There's a lot of preaching out there in the world today. There's a lot of preaching I was going to say going on right now, but most of these churches I would be describing aren't doing anything on Sunday evening. But there's a lot of preaching and teaching that goes on in our country that basically tells people you can live however you want and God will be fine with you. You can do whatever you want. You can live however you want. Let me tell you something. God doesn't say that. Because if we live however we want and we do whatever we want, we're not going to live godly. And God's Word is doctrinally from the beginning to the end is truth and leads to godliness. God's never in His Word been in favor of ungodliness. Never. And He never will. God's Word never. The true teaching of God's Word will never be in favor of ungodliness. Never. So, this is what these individuals do. They claim to be from God, but they're not. They claim to be commissioned and appointed by God, but they're not. They claim to have God's message, but they don't. They don't actually teach and preach the message of God. In Jeremiah 14, in verse number 14, the Lord God Himself described such false prophets. He says, the Word of God says, "Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name." These false prophets of Jeremiah's day, they stood up and they said, "Thus saith the Lord." But what they were giving were lies. They weren't really God's own message. God had not said it. God goes on to say in Jeremiah 14, verse 14, "The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake I unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart." Jeremiah 23, verse 16. Jeremiah 23, verse 16, the whole chapter of Jeremiah 23 is a heavy matter of dealing with these false prophets of Jeremiah's day. But in Jeremiah 23, verse 16, the Lord God spoke concerning these false prophets. The Word of God says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord." Verse 21, Jeremiah 23, verse 21. The Lord God declared concerning these false prophets, "I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied." In the closing portion of verse 26, the Lord added, "Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart." Thus in Jeremiah 23, verse 30, the Lord God indicated that these false prophets, by this means of claiming that they had a message from God that was not from God, and delivering such lies and deceit from their own heart upon the people. Jeremiah 23, verse 30, the Lord God indicates that these false prophets stole His Word from the people. They were literally, God viewed them as thieves that were stealing God's truth from God's people. Jeremiah 23, verse 30, God says, "Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless." I'm not reading the right one. I'm reading chapter 22. Chapter 23, verse number 30. "Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone, from his neighbor." That's what a false prophet is. That's what a false teacher is. That's what a false preacher is. And there are plenty of them out in the world today. There are plenty of them on the radio today. There are plenty of them on the television today. There are plenty of them on the internet today. There are plenty of them who have written books for you to read. I'm not against any of those media methods, but I'm telling you there's plenty of false out there among the media. All the different methods. There's plenty of false preachers standing behind pulpits today and in some churches that at one time were true churches. But a false preacher or false teacher somehow rose up into that church by whatever means and is now leading that church astray from God. In Ezekiel 13 and verse 2, the Lord indicated that such false prophets and such false teachers prophesy and teach out of their own hearts. In Ezekiel 13 and verse 3, the Lord God cried woe against these false prophets and teachers, calling them foolish prophets that follow their own spirit. In Ezekiel 13 and verse 6, the Lord described them saying, they have seen vanity and lying divination, saying the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. They gave people a false hope. In Ezekiel 13 and verse 10, the Lord God revealed that such false prophets and such false teachers seduce the people with false peace. If you were to read those various verses, which I had not turned to them to read them, just kind of giving you a summary of them, but if you were to pick up here in Ezekiel 13 verse 2, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy and say, vow unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts. Hear ye the word of the Lord. And God goes on to give a judgment against them. Verse 3, thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Verse 6, they have seen vanity and lying divination, saying the Lord said, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope. They have made others to what? To hope. But what kind of hope is it? Well, it's a false hope. It's a false teacher giving a false message that creates a false hope that they would confirm the word. Verse number 10, because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. God goes on to say, and then I'm going to blow on it, it's all going to fall down like that. Because the message is false. And the peace that results from that message is false. It's empty. It's vain. It's worthless. It's false. Isaiah 8, verse 20. We close with this. In Isaiah 8 and verse 20, we have what we might view as a clear definition or a clear summary of this consideration of definition for false prophets and false teachers. In Isaiah verse 20, the Word of God says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. They are false. So here this evening, as we take up this warning, beware of false prophets, we consider first of all a consideration of definition. What are they? A true godly prophet is commissioned of God to deliver God's message to man. A false prophet claims to be commissioned of God, but he's not. Claims to have God's message, but he doesn't. He actually is self-appointed, and as such becomes a minister of Satan, and the message he delivers is a message of lies from his own heart, fed to him most likely by the devil. And those lies give people a false peace, cause them to trust in a lie, and lead people to destruction, seduces the people into their own destruction. With that in mind, certainly, don't you think we should take up the warning, beware of false prophets? If they didn't exist, we wouldn't need the warning. If they weren't so destructive, we wouldn't need the warning. But they do exist in multitudes. And the destruction they bring into our lives is severe. It's serious. I even used the word earlier, it's sinister. Because there is a conspiracy behind it. Because the devil's behind it. And it's all intended to destroy people's lives spiritually. If you're a genuine believer, then the devil desires to devour your Christian life. If you're not a genuine believer, then he just wants to deceive you away from the true gospel. And he'll use any and all false teaching and false teachers to get it done. Beware of false prophets. Amen? Beware of false teachers. Beware of false preachers. Beware of those who come with a message that is not according to this book and not according to God's way of godliness. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we continue through this particular study, I pray that You would help us to recognize how serious and how important it is for us to be always aware and always alert and always aggressive to resist any such deception from false teachers into our lives. Lord, help us. Oh, Lord, help us, because there's plenty all around us if we're not careful. From so many different sources, maybe even sources that we thought were good. So help us to be ever alert and ever examine everything by Your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.